Hello, this is Mary Moreland reading the News Gazette Part 2 for Thursday, June 19, 2025. We'll begin with some obituaries. Letha Diane Barnhart, 83 of Urbana, formerly of Bellflower, died at 4:24 p.m. Monday, June 9 at Carle Foundation Hospital. Public graveside services will be at 1:30 p.m. Friday at Bellflower Township Cemetery, Bellflower. Kevin Lawrence will officiate. There will be no visitation. Robert McCann, 86, died at 3:07 p.m. Tuesday, June 17 at Carle Foundation Hospital. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. Daniel Murphy, born February 5, 1952 in Tuscola. He passed away peacefully at home on Friday, June 13 at the age of 73. A memorial service will be held at Morgan Memorial Home, Savoy, on Saturday, June 21st. Visitation will begin at 9 a.m., followed by the service at 10 a.m. Burial will take place at another time. Robert Pearson, 90, died at 10:59 p.m. Monday at Northwest Medical Center, DuPage Hospital, Winfield. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, 427 East Main Street, Hoopston. Daniel H. Snyder, 86 of Urbana, died at 6:54 a.m. Tuesday, June 17th at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Evergreen Cremation Services, 314 Tiffany Court, Champaign. Parents of 10-year-old file federal lawsuit over alleged assault. They say not enough was done to protect the daughter after learning of alleged sex crimes by older student. The parents of a 10-year-old girl who allegedly was assaulted repeatedly by a 14-year-old student in the Taylorville School District have filed a federal lawsuit against the school district and the school bus company. The lawsuit filed by a Chicago law firm contains 5 counts against the Taylorville School District and Durham Bus Service School Services, including violations of the victim's Title IX rights of her right to bodily integrity under the 14th Amendment, willful and wanton negligence, and infliction of emotional distress. The victim is identified in the suit as Jane Doe, a minor. Her parents are named in the suit, but Capital News Illinois is not using their names because it would identify the girl. The victim's mother said over the course of a week between late January and early February 2024, her daughter was sexually assaulted by an older student on her daughter's school bus at her bus stop. The court filing alleges that the assaults ranged in severity from fondling to digital penetration, most often taking place on the school bus where the perpetrator cornered the girl. On 3 separate instances, the perpetrator chased the girl away from a bus stop, held her down, and covered her mouth while he sexually assaulted her, according to the suit. The lawsuit also allegedly said that the perpetrator told the girl that he would harm her and her family if she reported the abuse, and that the perpetrator admitted that he did not even know her name when he repeatedly assaulted her. The girl is a special needs student living with autism and ADHD, according to the suit. We are talking about one of the most vulnerable members of our society. A young 10-year-old special needs girl, the lead attorney of the case, Cass Casper, said during a news conference about the lawsuit Tuesday. This young child was so confused and distraught by what was occurring that she did not even understand what was occurring. A spokesman for the school district did not respond to a request for comment by CNI. After reporting the incident, the mother said she obtained an emergency order of protection for her daughter and brought her to the principal at Taylorville Junior High School, who made a safety plan for her daughter. She said the plan prohibited the accused student from coming into contact with her daughter at school, which the order of protection already called for, and simply relocated him to another part of the school building. This safety plan was shared with the bus company, my daughter's fifth grade teacher, and office staff, the mother said during a news conference in the State House in January. No one else knew of the assaults, no one else knew of the safety plan. During that news conference, the mother also said that after several meetings with school board and multiple short court orders, the student was removed from her daughter's school and sent to an alternative school for the rest of the spring semester. However, in August, she received a phone call about the student's re-entry into her daughter's school and again asked the school to remove her daughter's perpetrator. We have laws where a student gets expelled for bringing a weapon on school grounds, but what about cases like this when the student's body is the weapon, the mother said. Casper said the school district conducted what he called a radically deficient Title IX investigation. He alleged the school district was more concerned with absolving the school district of responsibility than of fleshing out what happened, what events took place, when and where. Title IX is a federal law enacted in 1972 that prohibits sexual discrimination in any education program or activity. The court filing alleged that once the assaults were reported, the parents were informed about several other young victims in the community that the perpetrator had previously inappropriately touched. We do have specific information from three other sources that there were similar, not the same, but similar acts that should have raised questions within the community and whether within the school officials, Casper said. The lawsuits also mention a previous Illinois court case decision, which ruled that a school district is responsible for child abuse occurring on a school bus alongside the section in the Taylorville School District Student Discipline Code that says student conduct on school buses at extracurricular activities on any property within 1,000 feet of school grounds and prohibited conduct that is plainly visible to a person situated on school grounds, even if the misconduct occurs off of school property, is enforceable. The lawsuit also seeks compensatory damages for the cost of the girl's psychological treatment and for her emotional distress, as well as the implementation of new policies that will prevent future harassment and abuse. Most of what the family has pursued in Taylorville has fallen on deaf ears, Casper said. And now we have some sports. The Daily Pitch sports editor Matt Daniels with a look at what's going on around the area. Three reasons we love sports today. One, Isaiah Williams is set to join the Illinois football team in 2026. Two, not quarterback Isaiah Williams, better known as Juice, who threw for 8,037 yards and rushed to 2,557 more with the Illini from 2006 to 9. Or wide receiver Isaiah Williams, who is fifth in the program history with 2,304 receiving yards. Three, the most recent Isaiah Williams, who will play in Champaign, is a three-star, 6-foot, 190-pound safety recruit from Fort Bend Marshall High School in Missouri City, Texas. He verbally committed to Brett Bielema's program on Wednesday, becoming the 22nd commit after four-star offensive lineman Kai Pritchard from Donovan Catholic High School in Toms River, New Jersey, committed earlier on Wednesday. Numbers game, 5,928. Points Melissa Walschlager compiled in the heptathlon for the Illinois women's track and field team at the NCAA Outdoor Championships when the two-day event concluded this past Saturday to place fourth and earn All-American honors. On Wednesday, Walschlager became the first Illini to win the Big Ten Freshman of the Year award in women's track and field since Olympic medalist Ashley Spencer did so in 2012. Crowd control, three events I'm paying attention to. Illinois Valley Pistol Shrimp at Danville Dan's. Prospect League game on tap for a 6:30 p.m. first pitch on Thursday at Danville Stadium. Two, Oklahoma City Thunder at Indiana Pacers. Can the Thunder win its first NBA title on Thursday night, or will the Pacers force a Game 7 on Sunday night? Three, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas, Wichita Open. Former Illini Adrian Dumont de Chassert, who has made three PGA Tour starts this season, will tee off in his 10th Corn Ferry Tour event on Thursday at Crestview Country Club. The Corn Ferry Tour hits Illinois next week with a stop at Panther Creek Country Club in Springfield for the Memorial Health Championship. Ask an athlete three questions with Ella Carey, a Salt Fork junior who plays basketball and competes on the Storm's track and field team. Three athletes I'd like to have dinner with: Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, and Cooper Flagg. The TV show I most like to binge watch is Grey's Anatomy. My biggest pet peeve is when I can hear people chewing. Like a Second Home. Player of the Year, Abel Vines from Champaign Central. For Maroon standout, Champaign holds special place after his move to the U.S. from Spain. Central helped me grow as a better person. The word was out on Abel Vines by the time he got to Champaign Central 3 years ago. He had just moved to the United States from Spain, and there was already talk about how much he could help the Maroon boys tennis team. I had heard rumors Central coach Scott Davis said before COVID he was one of the better players in his age group in Spain. You talk about Spanish tennis, there aren't too many countries that play tennis as well as Spain does, and you've got a kid who's ranked nationally, so that tells you something. It almost felt like Vines was bound to become the best player in the area at some point. That time came this spring, solidified by his News Gazette's Player of the Year selection. Marking the third year in a row, a Maroon has won the award after Ezra Bernard earned back-to-back honors. "It definitely means a lot," Vine said. "Seeing Ezra winning them and how me being able to continue his path is a great feeling. And, of course, the recognition of all the work I put in during the high school season and the whole year. I hope one of our guys can win it next year." But Vine's path to get to this point wasn't easy. Vines wasn't even playing tennis at the time he moved to America. Despite being one of his country's top players, he stepped away from the sport during the COVID-19 pandemic and started focusing on basketball. While experiencing the next level of basketball in the U.S. was part of the move, the main reason for it was to improve his mother's career. Anna LaTorre is now a social studies teacher at Champaign Central. She and Vines came to the U.S. together in search of a little change and a bit of adventure in our lives. "It was definitely Abel who finally pushed me to come here when I still had many doubts," LaTorre said. "I have a whole life in Spain with my family and friends. They were hoping to secure a spot in the southern states with weather similar to Spain, but there weren't many spots open in those exchange programs. They settled on Illinois and hoped for the best. The plan was always just for 1 year, and we weren't looking for Champaign, honestly," Vines said. "Illinois ended up being the best option, and once you choose the state, you don't choose the city or town. They choose you. We were looking somewhere near Chicago, like Gurnee, but fortunately Champaign Central was the fastest to pick my mom." Vines was excited for basketball season, but tryouts came and went, and he didn't make the team. "Throw in the fact that it was in the dead of winter, and he was relying on basketball to start making friends, and Vines' list of reasons to stay got pretty short. He and his mom decided they would return to Spain at the end of the school year, but then, as LaTorre described it, the magic happened. It was during senior night for soccer that some of the guys were talking with Ezra about the tennis team," Vine said. "They asked me if I played tennis, and I said, yeah, I would consider myself pretty good. After that, I decided that I would give it a try again." Playing in the number two single spot in the Maroons' rotation that year, Vines helped Central place third at state and as a team in Class 1A, and he earned the first of three straight selections to the News Gazette's All-Area First Team. Just like that, he was hooked on tennis again. This past April, he even signed his letter of intent to continue his tennis career at the College of Coastal Georgia. "Tennis season started and everything changed," LaTorre said. "I will never forget how Coach Davis and the whole team welcomed him and pushed him up. He engaged again with tennis, and altogether he made the Vamos team. Then Abel asked me to stay one more year. Now he is going to play tennis at college in Georgia. Is that not amazing? I'm so proud of him." Vines capped off his high school career with his best season yet, finishing with a 15-3 singles record and going a perfect 16-0 in doubles play. He went the singles route during the postseason, sweeping his way through sectionals and winning one of three matches in the 2A state tournament. When he stepped into the number one spot this year, there was no question he was going to have a special season, Davis said. Until the state's tournament, he had only lost one match. When you go up the 2A state singles tournament, it's just a different animal. But he was able to win a match, and it was a great season. All the better for years a Central tennis player has had. Vine's stellar performance led Central to a team sectional title, its first since moving to Class A, and it continued raising the standard for the young, talented group of Maroons behind him. The team of young'uns was fun, and they'll for sure do great things in the future, Vine said. And I spent probably what are the most important years of my life here, and it's when I grew the most. Being in a whole new country just with your mom definitely forces you to mature earlier, and Central helped me grow as a better person than the one that came here 3 years ago. Meet the coach of the year, Scott Davis from Champaign Central. Why he's coach of the year. A successful season that included an undefeated regular season in dual matches, a Class 2A team sectional title, Abel Vines qualifying for the 2A state finals as a singles player, and Daniel Canives and Soam Gurupu making the state as a doubles team led to Davis, a coaching fixture at Champaign Central, earning the Coach of the Year nod for the fourth time. Staff writer Joey Wright caught up with Davis about what keeps him going in his fourth decade with the Maroons. What's the state of the local high school boys tennis scene? Abel Vines had an injury he dealt with that was kind of an issue a little bit toward the end of the year, but we tried to work around it. He hurt his ankle, but we had three really, really good players. We had a freshman, Soham Gurupu, who joined us this year, and he played at two for us, and next year he'll move up to one. I would imagine, and he's going to be a solid player for 2 or 3 years. Uni High has really developed a strong identity when it comes to boys tennis. There's just a lot of young kids playing. I know when I go over to Atkins or wherever I go, I'm seeing young kids out there learning how to play. You've been coaching at Central for more than four decades now. My first year coaching was in 1981. I got laid off because they were just laying off teachers at that time. Then I came back in 1986, so I was continuous from there. I've been retired now for 7 years from the classroom, and when I was getting ready to retire, I thought, I'm going to just give up coaching and just walk away, and that'll be it. A friend of mine said, you ought to try it for a year and just see if you like it. I'm glad he said that, and I'm glad I did, because now this 7 years, I've picked up the girls' tennis team, I'm still doing the boys' tennis team, and it's been a lot of fun. I like to ask coaches how they balance everything during a busy season. Many are still active in their careers. How do you find that balance in retirement? It's fun. It's nice as a retirement job. It gives me 3 months in the spring and 3 months in the fall to kind of fill in time, and it's just fun to be around young people. I had a chance to go sub at Central for a couple months this spring and enjoyed it. As an old guy, being around 16, 17, 18-year-olds can be a lot of fun. I don't know how much longer I'll do this, but I'm glad I decided to keep coaching after I retired. What keeps you coming back? It's the kids. You really feel it. You get an attachment to these kids. And when I finally decide to give it up, it's going to be hard because there's always a group of kids. I found this when I was teaching, too. When you work with a kid for 3 or 4 years and they graduate, there's a sadness there. But then there's another group that's coming right in. So there's just this continuity. And I've been very fortunate to have great kids to work with and great parents. It makes it easy to keep me coming back. You briefly coached alongside former Champaign Central boys basketball coach, legend Lee Kabuti. What was that like, and what are some of your other coaching mentors? I first started as one of Lee Kabuti's assistants. He was a mentor, and I enjoyed him a lot. I was blessed to be around a lot of good coaches like Tom Croy and Jeff Trigger, and Tommy Stewart I played for. I didn't coach with him, but he was always around when I started teaching, and I was always listen. There's Dyke Sterrett, too. I mean, Central has been blessed with a core group of coaches, and it looks like there's another good core there now that we're very fortunate to have. What got you into tennis? I was kind of late to tennis. I started playing when I was in college. You know how it is. You go out with a girl who's a tennis player, and next thing you know, you're playing tennis. And I fell in love with the sport when I was 18 or 19 years old. And I played pretty regularly. I had one of those Dunlop Maxplay Fort rackets, heavy as can be, and the head was as small as can be. But I loved the game and played a lot. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I kind of gave it up because I was coaching football, basketball, teaching, had kids, and I kind of got away from it. My son Matt, who's almost 40 now, when he was in high school, picked it up, and he and I started playing, and it got me back into it. For the last 20 years now, I've been seriously playing and enjoying it. I tell the kids all the time I'm 68 and I still try to play maybe 3 or 4 times a week. I know there are people in the community in their 70s and 80s and even 90s who are playing. Tennis is one of those sports that I've seen that you can play for so long. I saw something that said that all of the sports, tennis adds like an extra 7 or 8 years to a person's lifespan compared to other sports that you're involved in. Are you much into pickleball? I've played a little bit. I hurt my knee last summer and I had to take a couple of months off with a meniscus issue. When I came back, I decided if I'm only going to be on a court so many hours a week, I wanted it to be a tennis court. I think pickleball is great. Anything that gets people outside and moving and socializing is a positive thing. Pickleball checks all those boxes. What's the future of Champaign Central Tennis? Champaign Central Tennis is going to be strong. We've got 4 of our top 6 back, and we've got some kids working to try to fill in a couple gaps. From what I understand, there are some freshman girls coming in that are going to help us right away. And like I said, we've got a strong nucleus returning, so that's another reason to come back for another year or two. And we have Bob Asmussen's column. Luckily, Julie loves sports too. The only rule for this column seems to be make sure to write about college football. But is it okay? It is okay for me to wander off topic a bit, as long as I have a point, and I promise to get to it. On Wednesday, Julie and I celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary. You might also remember June 18, 1994. The World Cup opened that day at Chicago's Soldier Field. The Knicks beat the Rockies in the 5th game of the NBA Finals. And O.J. Simpson had just led the police in California on a slow-speed chase in his Bronco. It was the talk of the wedding other than the stellar performance of the YMCA by me and the groomsmen in the balcony of the restaurant. A real crowd-pleaser. There are more stories about that night, like the fact that it was 100 in East St. Louis, or that the bride and groom went to Barnes Hospital after midnight in full wedding garb to visit with one of the bridesmaids who couldn't be there because of an illness, or the next day when we were flying to our honeymoon destination that I had miraculously kept a secret from Julie, until the loud mouth in front of us shouted, "What time do we get to Detroit?" Wish I had a picture of Julie's face at that moment. Detroit is a lovely place, and I am not a total dope. We went to honeymoon-appropriate Mackinac Island. Enough about the wedding. Slowly pivoting to the college football part, since our wedding, I have covered hundreds of Illinois games, and Julie has read endless drafts. That's how we roll. Illinois went 7-5 our first year as a couple, closing with again a win against East Carolina at the Liberty Bowl. I was in Memphis, Tennessee, hanging out with the Ducks at the Peabody's. Last week, I returned to bowl coverage for the first time since 2011, going to Orlando, Florida for the Citrus Bowl. The family hasn't been to any of the bowls I have covered, maybe this year, but Julie, Hank, and Elizabeth have always been willing to see any sport. We had Illinois football season tickets for several years when the kids were in grade school. I'd be in the press box and they would sit in the horseshoe. We've been to Illinois basketball and baseball games together. When we leave town, we are likely going to see MLB games in St. Louis or wherever the Braves are playing. We also just went to our first NHL game together at the United Center and we'll be back. We are going to at least 2 Braves games this summer in St. Louis and Atlanta. We've talked for years about attending the Bragging Rights basketball game together, and this should be the year. The 4 most important people in my world, and the number one dog, understand how important college football is to me and what it has meant to my recovery from illness. Julie and the kids have always been willing to work their schedules around mine, which I appreciate, and I've realized that the world will not end if I have to miss a football coverage opportunity. Preferably, any future wedding plans will include the idea that September to December should be avoided. But if necessary, check the Illinois schedule for an open week. I'm evolving, but not all the way there yet. And there's a photograph next to Bob Asmussen's column. that has the caption, "As Louisville and Oregon State played Tuesday at the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, Champaign's Delroy Robinson fixed a glove from the front row. Robinson's son Cam pitched at Louisville and is on the Cardinals' coaching staff." The column is Labor of Love, Champaign's Robinson Has Brief Moment in the Spotlight at College World Series. Champaign's Delroy Robinson has fixed a lot of baseball gloves throughout the years, but never on a stage so big. During Tuesday's College World Series game between Louisville and Oregon State, ESPN cameras focused on Robinson's relacing the glove of Cardinals first baseman Tage Davis. The NCAA took to social media to show Robinson at work, posting on X, "Any place, father of bullpen assistant coach Cam Robinson, relacing Davis's glove mid-game." While walking into the stadium, Robinson received a call from his son, a former Louisville player now on staff, requesting emergency glove help. Delroy returned to his car, where he keeps a fix-it kit. From his front row seat alongside wife Mickey, Delroy needed an inning to solve the problem. Louisville went on to win 7-6 against the Beavers. "It was quite a unique situation," he said. Nicknamed Glove Whisperer, Robinson has been in the relacing business for decades, helping players from Little League to Louisville. To this day, gloves are dropped off in the mailbox of his house on Healy Street for him to mend free of charge. "It's a hobby of mine," he said, somewhat embarrassed by the attention he's received since Tuesday. The Cardinals, led by Champaign Central product Jake Monroe, saw their season end on Wednesday after an 11-3 loss to Coastal Carolina, wrapping up a 2-2 stay in Omaha. "This is Cam and Jake's stage, Louisville's stage," he said. "I had no intention of being in the spotlight. This is their moment. I was just giving back." Four-star offensive lineman picks Illinois. Illinois' most recent round of recruiting success continued Wednesday morning with a commitment from Donovan Catholic, New Jersey, offensive lineman Kai Pritchard, a commitment that gave the Illini's class of 2026 a serious boost. Pritchard is consensus four-star recruit and ranks as high as 218 nationally per 247 Sports. The 6'5", 275-pound lineman is a second consensus four-star in Illinois' class, along with Morgan Park standout Nasir Rankin. Illinois was Pritchard's first official visit this spring, making the trip to Champaign in April. Visits to Rutgers, Boston College, and Duke followed in May and June, but the Illini were able to come out on top in his recruitment. The New Jersey native had other power conference offers from Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina State, Penn State, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Tennessee, and West Virginia. The last four-star offensive lineman recruit to play for Illinois was Jacksonville's Gabe Meginson from 2015-17 before he transferred to Illinois State. The Illini also landed a four-star lineman, Andrew Dennis, but he transferred to Michigan State after going through spring practices in 2024. Illini land yet another Isaiah Williams. Isaiah Williams didn't get his Illinois offer until May 13th. By that point, the Fort Bend Marshall safety out of Texas had a slew of power conference programs in pursuit. Texas Tech was his first offer in January 2023, and he racked up 32 more before the Illini official got on board last month. The pitch from Illinois coach Brett Bielema and defensive coordinator Aaron Henry, the lead recruiter, clearly worked. Williams committed to the Illini on Wednesday after taking an official visit to campus this past weekend. Oregon State, Missouri, and Utah were the other top contenders for Williams, but far from the only Power Conference teams that were interested. The 6'9", 190-pound safety, Illinois won out for the consensus three-star recruit. This has been Mary Mortland reading the News Gazette Part 2 for Thursday, June 19th, 2025. Stay cool this hot weekend.